I declare that your kingdom will never end.
Yes.
There is no beginning and there is no end to your reign, Father. You are the King. So we come before you today, Father.
Praise.
We bless your name and we praise you and we exalt you, Father, because you are above all.
That's a promise from Almighty God. He says, when you give, and you give by faith, trusting in the Lord about, you know, you're looking at this word, you say, Lord, your word says this. So you're giving by faith, saying, I believe you. I take you at your word. I believe what your word says. God's power comes on that. And he says, when you plant that seed, the Bible calls it seed, into the kingdom of God to further the work of the kingdom of God, God says, I will move on men and women to bring provision into your life, a supernatural provision. And it comes in many a form. I've experienced it myself literally thousands of times. I've been living in this place for about 30 years with the Lord. And there is a place of supernatural provision that God has for every one of his children. So I just want us to operate in faith every time. When we give, when we plant into the kingdom of God, that we do so by faith. Not just a religious act of pluck it in a bucket. That's not wise. That's not being a good steward of the finances God's given to you. So whenever you give, give by faith, trusting God for the return. That is not displeasing to God. That is very pleasing to him. He wants you to operate in faith with him. Amen? So we're going to do the tithes and offerings right now. And I'm just going to speak that word over you again and pray over it. The word of God says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. Father, we give right now into your kingdom, and we believe, Father God, for that blessing on it, that we would have even more to give the next time, Father, that we would be blessed and be able to be a blessing as a result of that. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, we have something we're going to be doing today, which is really fun. I'm excited about it. We're going to do a baby dedication. This will be my first as the senior pastor of this church, so bear with me. So to do that, what I'd like to do is to ask everyone to come up here that's going to be coming up here, which would be Shane and Jordan. This will be the mother and father of the child. It'd be good if you brought Layton as well. And then the godparents, once you come on up here, and then the parents and grandparents of Layton. Is she? Aww. Go back to sleep, Layton. It's not time yet. If you guys would be on this side, yeah, you two on this side. And then I'm going to do my best to try and introduce everyone right now. This is Jordan and Shane, mother and father of the guest of honor today. This is Layton Elizabeth Ducrow. In case you can't remember it, it's right there. And then these are the godparents. So this is Zach and Anna, which will be Layton's. They are Layton's godparents. And this is Jordan's mother, Jordan's father, and his wife, Chris. So Elizabeth and Rex and Chris. All right? So we have godparents, we have grandparents, and we have parents, and we have Layton. So I just want them to stand up here so they can be uncomfortable with me as long as possible. Layton, it's okay, really. So if she does that in my arms, you'll know it's not just me. All right. So I'm going to teach a little bit about baby dedication so we understand what we're doing. I don't want this to be a religious act, but a spiritual one. We have a couple examples in the scripture I'll just give us to. One is with Hannah. It's in 1 Samuel 1, if you want to look it up at another time, where Hannah dedicated her child, which is Samuel, to the Lord. And Samuel became a powerhouse for the Lord. She dedicated him to the Lord, and as a result, the Lord's anointing was on Samuel. And then we see Joseph and Mary also taking baby Jesus to the temple specifically to dedicate the child to the Lord. And he also was quite the powerhouse for the Lord. The anointing of the Lord comes on a child when we dedicate a child to the Lord. Now I'm going to read some other scriptures to kind of give us an understanding of God's view of children in case our view needs to be adjusted at all. Psalm 127 is a beautiful verse of scripture that says God's attitude, talks to us about God's attitude of children. Sometimes children, not that I would know, not that I have any, but I've been around them all my life, of course, so I understand, can be a little bit difficult, and sometimes you wonder, I won't say anything more about that, but anyhow, here's what the Lord says about children. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. A heritage, a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. God calls children a gift. And this is something that you two want to never forget, is that you did not create Layton. God did. This is literally God's child. God thought of her, desired her, and created her in your womb. Then He's honoring you two by giving her to you as a steward to raise her. He's entrusting you to raise His child so that when she comes of age and can make the proper thoughts on her own, she will turn to the Lord. He's entrusting you to train her in the things of the Lord, in the knowledge of the Lord, so that when she is of age, she will turn to Him because she sees Him in a favorable light because you have put Him in a favorable light before her. So this is truly, literally, a gift from God for you. Another place where we see this also is in Psalm 139. Psalm 139 says this, starting in verse 13. Talking about where the child comes from. For you have formed my inward parts. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. And that my soul knows well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. God saw her before she was ever formed. That's what I was talking about earlier when it was the desire of God's heart. She was in His mind, His creation, and then He formed her. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days that were fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. The child, every one of us, were literally God's idea. God created every one of us. Amen? Now, the admonition we have from the Lord, or the instruction we have from the Lord, is to raise the child in the admonition of the Lord. And so we have some verses like Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, or when she is old, she will not depart from it. Ephesians 6:4 says, Father, do not provoke your children to wrath, but train them up in the admonition of the Lord. And then, the dedication of a child, as we talked about with Hannah and with baby Jesus. Jesus takes the children in His arms. We see the examples of Jesus taking the children and lifting them up to the Lord and blessing them, speaking blessing over them. And that's what we want to do now. And also having you and the godparents and the parents, grandparents, making a commitment to the Lord. So I'm going to ask you this as you hold Layton. By coming here today, of your own free will, you're saying that we are committing to raising this child up in the admonition and the training of the Lord. And if that is your heart's desire, if that is your commitment, to make that commitment to the Lord now, then I agree to that by saying we do.
We do.
Amen. And you as the godparents, do you also commit in joining them and helping them as much as you are able and with God's help to raise Layton up in the admonition and the training of the Lord, even a committing to praying over her life for her protection?
Yeah.
And then you as the grandparents, obviously, already in love with this child, do you also commit in helping them in whatever way that you can in the raising and helping them to raise her in the admonition of the Lord? Amen. Well, praise God. And let me take Precious Layton.
She's got a left hook there.
Okay. Uh-oh. Easy. It's okay. She says this is a new dress and it's kind of itchy, so she's getting uncomfortable. Oh, you're so precious, little one. Father God, we lift up Layton Elizabeth Ducrow to you right now. And Father, as you've heard from her own parents and her godparents and her grandparents, Lord, they dedicate Layton to you right now. So we lift her up to you, Father, and we pray your hand of divine protection and divine provision over her life. Layton, we speak blessing over you in the name of the Lord. May your life be blessed of the Lord. May his hand of protection be upon you all your days. May you be strong in spirit and in wisdom. May your heart be soft to the Lord. May you receive all the instructions of the Lord all the days of your life. We bless you, Layton, in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. I just remember one more thing I want you guys to commit to here. It's similar to what we've already said. Oh, she's so sweet. Do you too also commit to the best of your ability and with God's help to not only raising her in the knowledge of the Lord, but encouraging her in the accepting of Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior when she's at that point of understanding, that you would commit to encouraging her to accepting the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Now, that is the greatest thing you can do for her, so that her eternal destiny will be in the hands of God. Amen. Layton, bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys. You can have a seat. Yes, she impresses. Did you notice how calm she got in my arms? Just saying. No, thank goodness she was already asleep before he handed her off. All right. Well, I just had the most beautiful weekend with the entire senior leadership. If you notice, my face is probably a little bit darker than it was last Sunday. If I brought the whole senior leadership up here, you'd see they're all the same color. We just spent a weekend at Buckeye Lake together, and it was just absolutely awesome. You know, we had breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then breakfast and lunch again the next day, and we sat around a bonfire at night, and, you know, we just spent quite a bit of time growing closer together, praying together. And we also talked about this church and the direction of the church and what's going on. And one of the things that came up was a little bit of concern for my teaching for the last couple of weeks, that I might be a little bit too heavy, a little too heavy-handed, I guess. And I, too, was concerned of that. In fact, last Sunday, after the service was over, I was outside, and I stopped Peter and Megan to talk to them about it. And I said, I just feel like it's not really coming across the way I want it to come across. That it's, I'm coming across more like someone who's, you know, kind of like whipping the body and you know, bringing condemnation on the body. And I do not want to do that. It is not my heart, but I'm not sure how to do it differently than I'm doing. Because what I'm trying to do is inspire. But I think it's coming off like, you know, it's condemning people who aren't learning these scriptures well and, you know, that kind of thing. So, now I know not everyone's receiving it that way, because I've had several people come up to me just lit up going, man, I'm loving this. I've been trying to figure out how do you share Christ with people, and I've not understood. And thank God now I have these scriptures. I know what to do. And I know some people have been really fired up about it. But I know others are not feeling that way, and they're feeling like, man, you know, I don't know if I want to come to church next Sunday. I'm, you know, getting beat up on. So I'm going to change gears a little bit here. In fact, when Peter came up, you remember last week, and he started talking about how he had just learned them, but, you know, he knows this can be kind of difficult, and he wanted to share with you a little bit about how to memorize scripture and all that. I was so glad that he was up here, because I felt like he was bringing the lightness that I'm wanting to bring, but he was just doing a lot better job of it. And so I thanked him for that later, and I really appreciate him doing that. So I just really want to share my heart with you, first of all, and just say that my heart is to help and to inspire. It is not to condemn. It's not to bring any heaviness on you at all. So just know that if it's coming across that way, that's just my inability to do it better. It's not that my heart's desire is to beat up on anybody. So I'm still a little bit at a loss how to do it, how to inspire you to, you know, get equipped to be able to do what God's called us to do, which is to share the gospel with people and not bring the heaviness. So I'm just going to go a different direction because I don't know how to do that direction better. So I'm just going to go a slightly different direction. Still on the same topic, but I'm not going to be calling anyone out to quote the scriptures that I told you I was going to do this week, where I'm going to pop quiz and make sure, you know, see if you know the scriptures and all that. Although I did receive a text from someone this morning that says, "Hey man, I'm ready. I've got the scriptures down." Like I said, there's some people that are fired up about it. They're enjoying it. They're liking it. So, what do you think, Peter? Are you feeling up to it?
Yeah.
All right, man, come on up here. So I'm going to have Peter do it. Woo! So can we get him a microphone? All right. It's all right. Even if you don't, man. There, that's good. It's okay if you don't, man. It's all right. Here, is that better? It's all right if you don't know them all. All right. So now I kind of have this long version, short version. I was also encouraged by a couple of people. Scratch the short version. Just do the 8 verses. So, and I didn't say that to Peter ahead of time. So do you, you know, there were ones that were in bold. That's the short version. Then there was a couple of extras that make up 8 that makes the long version. Do you know which one it was that you've been meditating? He's been working. He's been meditating on these every day. I'm like, yeah, baby. Isn't that awesome?
So I just did the short version.
Okay, that's great. That's wonderful. The short version works, man. It's powerful. It has all the gospel in it from start to finish.
Yeah, I didn't memorize the whole thing.
Okay, that's all right. You just go ahead, man. All right, so what's the first one?
First one is Romans.
I think you have to hold just a little closer.
First one is Romans.
All right.
And it's, we are all sinners.
Okay. Do you remember the verse, the address in the Bible?
Romans 6:23.
That's the second one. The first one is
3:23.
There you go, baby. That's it.
Okay. Let me think for a second. I'm kind of off guard.
Yes. It's a little different when you come up here in front of everyone, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are all sinners.
Yes.
And
yeah, in fact, I forgot. I'm not even asking you guys to memorize the scripture. Just what's it about? And that's what it says.
That's what I was doing.
That's exactly it. So the next one. Romans 6:23, what does that say?
Dude.
It's all right. For the wages.
We are all, the wages of sin is death, and by the glory of God, the wages of sin is death. And
that's really the only part you really need to know about that. That's what that verse is about. It's saying, what's the result of the sin? We've all sinned.
Okay.
And the wages of sin is death.
It's death.
And that death that they're referring to is spiritual death. Did you lose your mic there? Is spiritual death.
Okay.
Right.
So it's the wages of sin is death.
Exactly. What's the next
one? So the next one would be Revelation.
Okay. That's the long version. Keep going, man. You're doing
good. Well, the Revelation is the one about going ahead and basically, God is going ahead and when Jesus comes back, God is going to go ahead and judge all of us.
Yes.
And for the unbelievers, they will be thrown into a fiery pit of hell.
Yes.
And for the believers, they will be in heaven for eternity.
Exactly.
What's okay, the next one's Corinthians.
Corinthians, 1 Corinthians.
Corinthians is
chapter and verse, do you know it?
No, I didn't get
okay,
all that.
That's down. All right. 6.
All right. So Corinthians is the one that's let's see, no wrongdoers, which is adulterers, thieves, and
the basic idea is it's just all sin. Anyone. All unrighteous or all wrongdoers.
All wrongdoers will not have a place in eternity.
Exactly.
Okay, then the next one would be, let's see, that's four. So the next one would be John.
Very good.
Okay, and John is...
chapter and verse, do you know it?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't get the chapter and verse. I just figured
just
out...
Just the book. All right, man. Hey, you're good.
I was doing the Cliff Notes.
All right. The All Cliff right. Note version.
The first thing on John is that you have to be born again in order to go ahead and...
And that's John 3:3. All right.
Okay. The next one would be John again.
Yes.
And that is...
it's also chapter 3, verse 16 and 17.
Oh, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that who believeth in him would have eternal life.
Right. So the first four verses that he gave, remember, is talking about the problem. The problem is sin. Sin has separated us from God. Now he's talking about the solution. John 3:3, you must be born again. John 3:16 and 17 says that God did not send the Son, his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world, right? Because so much, even unfortunately Christians, we just bring this club and, you know, it's about, you're a sinner. That's not what God did to us, and that's not what he wants us doing with those who haven't accepted Christ, but letting them know that's good news. The word gospel means good news, not bad news. It's good news. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that they would be saved, right? So that's what John 3:16 and 17 says.
Okay, the next one would be John again.
Mm-hmm. 14:6.
14:6, and that is that no one can go to the Father unless you go through Jesus.
Exactly. He is the way.
He is the way.
Not a way.
The way.
The way. And he says himself, no one comes to the Father but through me. Okay?
Okay, then the last one is Romans again.
Yes, 10 verses 9 through 13. Or
yes.
9 and 10, either way.
And that is... hold on just a second. Let's begin.
Believe in the heart?
No.
Unto righteousness?
That's not what I memorized.
It talks about how to get saved, right? That if one believes in the heart and confesses with the mouth.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
You have, in order to go ahead and... Okay, how do I say that? For the Romans, you got to go ahead and you have to confess with your heart and you have to speak it out and believe it with your heart that Christ has died on this cross for you.
Yes, that's it, baby.
Okay.
Nice, Peter.
All right,
man. Yeah, that's good. Hey, man. I love it, Peter, man. You're going for it. I mean, this guy just recently gave his life to Christ, and he's just going for it, man. I just love it. So, okay, here's what I want to talk about this morning with what little time we have left. Is so, and I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, I could easily come across as condemning, but on this one, I want to tell you, again, it's not what I'm trying to do. So if you start to hear it that way, fix your filter. That's what I'll say. It's not me. It's your filter. Yes. Don't take it personally. Amen. Okay, here's what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, all right, it's talking about someone who's accepted Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Now, that when it says you're a new creation, the Greek word of that means literally something that never existed before. When you accept Jesus Christ into your life, there's literally a miracle that happens on the inside of you. It happens in a moment. When you pray that prayer and you ask Jesus to come into your life, a miracle takes place where God forms a new spirit on the inside of you. Everyone, all of us, every single one of us in this room, before we accepted Christ into our life, we lived, that we were alive, but we were spiritually dead. The very second verse that Peter came up here and was quoting is, what's the second verse in leading someone to Christ? Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin, or the result of sin, is death. Right? That's referring to spiritual death. Everyone's still walking around. So it's not about talking about physical death. It's talking about spiritual death. And that's really made evident by the second half of that verse, which says, but, the contrast, the gift of God is eternal life. Right? So he's saying they don't have that, but they're still walking around. So it's spiritual death that he's referring to. When we accept Christ, God breathes his spirit into us and we become born again by the Spirit of God. So, therefore, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus. Now, what I really want to get to this morning is the next sentence. What does it say? Brian, what's it say? Say it louder.
He gave us the ministry of reconciliation.
He gave you a ministry. Once you've accepted Christ, he gave you a ministry. He gave me a ministry. Now listen, I really want you to get this. This is off the charts exciting. Even if you may feel a little bit nervous and fearful about it in the beginning, when you really get it, it's incredible. You have a ministry. This is real. This is, well, yeah, I got this ministry. It's a little thing. I'm talking, where's the real ministry? You have been given a ministry. I have been given a ministry. Literally, you're in the ministry. Well, that's funny. I didn't feel like it. I never recognized I was in the ministry. That's the problem. We need to recognize. We need to literally be awoken. Awakened? Awakened. To this reality. We have a ministry. It's real. He gave us the ministry. Think about those words. And here's what I want to encourage you to do today. If you don't really get anything else that I'm actually teaching today, just maybe get this assignment. I would like for you to take 2 Corinthians 5, specifically verses 18, 19, and 20, and meditate on them. Read them over and over and over. Read them slowly. Read them day after day, week after week, month after month, for the next couple of months. If you will do that, what will happen, this is how the whole kingdom of God operates. You can do this with any truth out of the Bible, what I'm about to tell you. It's made very clear in Mark chapter 4. The entire chapter talks about this process I'm about to explain. It's condensed into a concentrated version. You know how you have a concentrated orange juice, you know? You have a real orange and then you have the compact. This is like orange juice concentrate is Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 29. Explaining what I'm about to explain. The whole kingdom of God operates this way. As if a man would scatter seed on the ground. The seed is the word of God. The seed will sprout and grow. He himself knows not how. First the blade, then the head, then the full grain in the head. When the grain ripens, he puts in the sickle, for his harvest has come. Right? That's Mark 4, 26 through 29. Here's what that's talking about. If you do what I just said, you take these three verses of scriptures and you meditate on them over and over and over. This is seed. It's the word of God. It's seed. It will go down into your heart. You may be reading it, and after a while, you're getting very bored. Man, I've read this thing 100 times. I'm not really excited about these scriptures. This isn't affecting your head. Don't worry about your head. If you're bored, it has nothing to do with anything. Just, so what? Do it. Just do it. The word will go into your heart, Jesus said. And the earth, talking about the heart of man, will cause the seed to sprout and grow. It says, he himself knoweth not how. He says, you don't even know how it's working. Don't worry about knowing how it works. Just get the word into your heart. Just keep putting it in there. Keep putting it in there. And it will grow and sprout. And what will happen is you will get it. A day will come. You'll be reading it and it will be like, I get it. It'll become a revelation on the inside of you, this ministry that you have been called to. And when that day comes, when it hits you, you will be changed. You'll be changed. Permanently changed. the rest of your life, because you will realize something. Oh my goodness. I have been called by God into this ministry. I've been commissioned by God. Now you may say, yeah, but I kind of wanted another kind of ministry. You know, I wanted to have a mega church and be the pastor of a mega church. You know, I wanted to start an orphanage. I want to be like Mother Teresa. I want to feed the poor. I want to start an orphanage. I want to be a TV evangelist. I want to, you know, you can think of all these other ministries and think those are real ministries. And this is just like, let me tell you something. There is no greater, no more important ministry on the planet than this ministry. There isn't one. You can feed the poor all you want, and that's a beautiful work. You can start orphanages and house 1,000 kids, which is something I would love to do. It's been on my heart for years. You could be the pastor of a mega church of thousands of people and be instructing the body of Christ. But every single one of those things are taking care of people while they're here on the earth, right? And does nothing for their eternal destiny. You can feed the children all their lives, but if you don't give them Jesus, if you don't give them salvation, when they die, they will go with their full belly to a place of utter separation from God for all of eternity. You can heal the sick, and if you don't lead them to Christ, when they die, they will go to a place of eternal separation from God. There is no greater ministry than taking a person who is about to walk off a cliff into eternal darkness and saying, wait, stop, I have something to say to you. And you minister to life to them, they get it, they understand, and they turn and go the other way. Now they will spend all of eternity with God because of you. If you never feed them and you never clothe them, if you never teach them another thing out of the Bible, you have done the greatest thing you can possibly do for them. That's why I said to you last week, if you recall, what I'm trying to do right now is the greatest thing I can do for you as your pastor. If you stay with me and I'm here for the next 25 years and I teach you everything I know from the Bible and I'm teaching you doctrine after doctrine, there is nothing I can do for you. There's no instruction I can give to you that is going to be more value, more beneficial to you than if I can help you get about the ministry that God's called you to do. This is the Sunday of other noises. There is no greater service that I can do for you than what I'm trying to do right now. And that is to encourage you to take up this ministry that God has called you to. Changing someone's eternal destiny is off the charts incredible. I have literally watched time after time after time the very countenance of a person alter right before my eyes when I pray with them and they accept Jesus into their life. In fact, one time I was in a prison in California, a women's prison of all things. They called me, all right, asked me if I would go in there. I didn't call them and ask, hey, can I come preach in a women's prison? No, they called me. I was preaching in prisons in California, various prisons, and they called me and said, hey, would you come here? This is a women's prison. And I said, okay. Haven't done that one before, but sure, I'll go. And let me tell you, that was a very different experience. You know how women probably deal with catcalls all the time? I've never dealt with that. I did that day. As I was walking down the halls, ooh, baby, but you know, all these, I got all these catcalls going down the hall. It was really interesting. So anyhow, I go into the chapel, a little side note there. I go into the chapel, and they brought all these women in. There wasn't a lot. There was probably about 20 women in there. On the second row on my right-hand side, I'll never forget this gal. She walked in there, and I just happened to notice her face. I mean, I'm looking around all these women, but I noticed this gal because her face was the face of someone. It was like a stone face. You talk about hard. I mean, her countenance, it struck me. It was so strong. Her face was just cold as cold can be. Her eyes were like steel. There was like no life in it, no life in her eyes. And I just looked at her and I thought, wow. I just kind of looked away like, what is she doing here? There is nothing about her that says to me, she came to hear what I have to say. You know what I'm saying? a hard countenance. So much so, I'm telling you, it caught my attention. And then I just looked away, you know, and I just went on and I ministered. And I shared with them about Jesus Christ and what he did for them and how to accept him into their life. At the very end, I called for a raise of hands. If you would like to accept Jesus Christ in your life right now, I'd ask you to just raise your hand so I can acknowledge that and that you would profess before Christ publicly that you're about to do this. If you want to accept Christ in your life, raise your hand. To my utter amazement, she raised her hand. Several other girls did too, but she's the one that caught my attention. I bowed my head then. I just said, okay, pray with me. And I prayed a prayer with them, and they joined me in that prayer. And then at the very end, you know, they all left. A couple people stayed around. I talked to them for a little while. And then as I was leaving, I'd been there for a little while, and I was leaving. I was right at the front door of the prison getting ready to leave. And one of the ladies working there, one of the guards working there, said, hey. She caught my attention. She said, can you come back here for a minute? I said, yeah. And I was like, wondering if I did something wrong. And she said, somebody wants to talk to you. Do you have a few more minutes? I said, sure, whatever. I have plenty of time. So I came back in. It was that woman's cellmate who wanted to talk to me. And she came. She said, I just had to share with you something before you left. She said, did you recognize? And she tried to describe this girl. And I said, oh, yeah, I remember her very specifically. She said, she came to your service to kill another woman. That's why she was there. I knew before she went why she was going. I tried to stop her. She would not stop. She's already in here for a life sentence. She doesn't care about additional life sentences. She came there because she's been trying to get to this other woman and cannot get to her because of the lockdowns and their area and all that. She said, but she heard she was going to that service. She went there to kill her. And she was going to kill her in your service. She said, she came back. Now, this girl's born again already. She came back to my cell, and I looked at her, and she said, I just looked at her and knew that this was a different girl. And I said, what happened to you? And she said, I just gave my life to Jesus Christ. And she said, I just had to come out here and tell you what you just did. And I'm telling you, when I looked at that woman's face at the end, when I looked up at her, it was like it was a different woman sitting in that chair. It went from a hard, stony, cold face to a soft, angelic face. I never forgot. And then the Lord just blessed me by giving me that story before I left that prison to let me know what happened. Think about that. That woman's life has changed forever because I shared the gospel. This is the ministry God has called us to. Every single one of us can do this. We can change people's eternal destiny. So I just know I'm taking a different route here. I'm just wanting to encourage you to the ministry you've been called to, because I know if you will get that ministry, and the way to get that is to take these verses of scriptures and sow them into your heart and read them over and over. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and has given me the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has given to me this message of reconciliation. Therefore, I am an ambassador for Christ, as though God were pleading through me. I implore you, this is what God's pleading, I implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's our message. That's what we say to the people, right? So it says there a couple different ways God has called us to the ministry. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Then he explains what that is. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And this is how he does it. Not imputing their trespasses to them. Oftentimes as Christians, we impute people's trespasses to them. We judge them. We want to beat them up, saying you're a sinner. We are not being an ambassador for Christ when we do that, because that's not what Jesus did. And we are supposed to be carrying his message, not our own. And his message is, God has already forgiven you. Jesus did what we could not do for ourselves. Jesus did for us what we could not do for ourselves. Then he offered to us right standing with God as a gift. That's what we're supposed to be communicating to the world. We explain to them, yes, we talk to them about their sinful state, not to beat them up, to just so they become aware of the problem. And therefore recognize, this is why we're doing it, so that they recognize their need for a Savior. Then we tell them the good news. You cannot get rid of your own sin. There's nothing you can do. There's no soap on earth strong enough to wash away your sin. There's no act that you can do so good that would wipe away your sin. If you lived a perfect life from this day forward for the rest of your life, it still does not address the sins of your past. There's nothing you can do. The good news is, therefore, God sent his only Son to pay the price for us. So he did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And then he offered to us a right standing with God as a gift. And then we simply say, I receive the gift. Or I reject the gift. We simply explain that message to people. Because most people don't know. They think, well, if I'm going to get right with God, I guess I need to start going to church. I need to start living right. I have to do something. And the message of the gospel is, you can't do it. You cannot do it good enough. The good news is, he already did it for you. All you have to do is receive it. So that's it. I just want to leave you with that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21, or the concentrated version is 18, 19, and 20. Meditate on those and understand this. You have a ministry. You already have one. And it's a beautiful ministry. And if we pick it up, we take up this ministry that we've been called to. If you get it that you've got it already, that you have a ministry, it should light you up. You've been called by God to do something. And when we step into this ministry, now the first time, you know, right now I'm trying to teach you some scriptures that will help you be able to share the gospel, right? When you get this, when you really get the revelation, I know that the scriptures that I just given you and some others that you would find from anyone else, you'll be hungry for them. You'll be like, why? Because I need tools for this ministry. I just recognize I'm called to. I need the tools to do this ministry, right? And that's all I've been trying to do for the last couple of weeks, is give you the tools to do the ministry you've called to. So now I'm going a different order. I'm saying, let's focus more on the fact that you have a ministry. If you get lit up about the ministry, you're going to want the tools. Then all of a sudden you'll have a different hunger for it and you'll go for those tools, right? So then you start meditating on the scriptures. You get understanding of what you need. Then the first time, I understand it's going to be a little bit nerve-wracking. But just know you have to do it. It's the same as any new job, right? You get a new job. You may have gone to school for it. You may have learned for it. But when you show up on the job the first day, is it a little bit unnerving? You know, you're like, I don't know if I even know what I'm supposed to be doing, you know? That's normal. Just know that's normal. Don't be thinking you're weak, you're just full of fear, whatever. I mean, you're full of fear, but, you know, I mean, that's normal is all I'm trying to say. Don't think you're abnormal because you're feeling that way. Just know this. You have to push through that. Just like you do when you take on the new job. Just like when we were younger and we went to school. You know, the first day of school was a very scary thing. But what happens after you're there even 2 days? The second day is like 1,000 times easier than the first day. But after you're there a week, you're like, this is fun. You can't wait to go to school. You know, you have a good time. At least, I don't know. Maybe you didn't. But the same thing on the job. When you first start a new job, it's scary. Why? Because we're stepping into unknown territory. That's normal when you step in unknown territory. I just want to encourage you, push into it. Because when you share with that first person, you know, it may go well, it may not go so well. You did it. You were successful. You shared. You tried, right? The next time, it gets easier. Then what happens also is after you do it, you realize, oh, I need to get these scriptures down better. I was kind of messing up there, right? And you have more of a desire to study the scripture because now you've got an actual, you know, online, you know, you're on the air experience. And you realize, okay, I need a little more preparation for that. And you'll come back and you'll study more. The next time you go, you're better prepared. And you'll do better the second time. And then the third time. And then after about the fourth time, you'll realize, this is really not hard. This is actually pretty easy. Especially when someone takes your hand, they say, yes, I want to accept Christ. And you're like, man, I just totally messed that up. I forgot the second and the third scripture. I went right to the fourth, you know, because that's what you'll do. Many times you'll just kind of mess up. and they still accept Christ. And what happens when you do that a few times? You realize, oh, I'm not alone here, am I? And that's something you never want to forget. God did not call us to this and then sending us out there on our own. He's going with you. He just needs you and me to be the mouthpiece to go out there. He sends you with the Holy Spirit, and God will literally, and that's not just a spiritual thing, that's a real thing. You'll know it, because when you start saying things, you're like, whoo, where'd that come from? You'll say things that are just incredible. I have many times operated in words of wisdom, words of knowledge. I want to start moving more in the prophetic. I was talking to Ryan about that the other day. I don't push myself in that area, but I will get words of knowledge on people frequently. I'll just suddenly, I know something about their grandparents, and I'll just tell them about it. Did your grandma die last year, and you were in a place of like total depression for like 6 months? Oh my gosh. And they just start crying, you know, then they know God's here. And you know God's here. So anyhow, you'll realize when you start to do it, you're not alone. What we need to do is just prepare ourselves. You know, I'm kind of like, you know, like a cowboy, you know, he's got his guns, his pistol, or a guy in the military, you know, get your hanging age. You know, you have to put the things on your belt, right? These are the scriptures. You need to be able to explain some things to them. So that's why it's good to get the word of God in you, get some scriptures. So when you go out there, you can share the gospel. But my point is, don't worry about the fact it's a little fearful in the beginning. That's normal. Press through. And I promise you, after you've done it 3 or 4 or 5 times, hopefully in a fairly short period of time, otherwise you've got to kind of start all over again. If you waited 6 months, you're going to kind of be back to that same first fearful point. You know what I mean? If you do it one day and then 2 or 3 days later, you press into doing it a second time, and a couple days later, you press into doing it a third time, it quickly becomes easy, or a lot easier, and you'll find yourself flowing in it. And then the scriptures, you really start getting those down after you've done it several times with people. And then you just know the order of the scriptures very quickly. It's really not difficult. The people are hungry. The enemy will try and tell you otherwise. But Jesus himself said, the harvest is plentiful. The problem isn't the harvest. What's the problem? The workers. They're the ones that are few. We've got it the other way around. We think we've got all these people, but there's very few that want to hear our message. It's the other way around. There are millions of people that want to know the answer to life. They just don't know where it is. They think about religion or Christianity as being like a religion. And it's like, I don't need religion. I need an answer to life. And so when we share Jesus with them and they accept Christ, then the light comes on in the inside of them and they realize, oh, this is what I've been longing for, and I never knew it. Amen? Well, praise God. Did I forget anything? I usually do. Okay, good. No one's saying I forgot anything. Did the tithe, did the offerings. Well, God bless you all. Hey, you know this restaurant over here, like 100 yards from here, which is called Michael's Goody Boy. Michael's Goody Boy. It's a really cool restaurant over here. They have a nice patio. I think the weather is such we could sit outside. The last couple Sundays was so hot we sat inside. But they have great sandwiches for like $7 or $8. There's going to be several of us over there having lunch. I'm going over there in about 15 minutes. I'll be over there. If any of you would like to just hang with us, hang with some of the leaders from the church and other people in the congregation, then go on over there and we'll have lunch together and just fellowship a little bit longer. Love you all. God bless you. Great having you guys here today for that baby dedication. Rex, it was great seeing you again. Even though it's been a long time, we didn't really remember each other, but it's great to see you again. All right. Jordan and Shane, woohoo! Congratulations, you guys, on Layton. All right, guys, have a beautiful day, beautiful week. God bless you.